Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. I'm turning Ben's mic off while he opens up his cookie over there.
My Financial Friday cookie.
Is that what that is? Okay, super. All right, everybody, welcome on board. It is Financial Friday. I'm Mark Lawrence, Mr. Rob Center, fabulous producer on the other side of the glass. His help and hard work, always appreciated. Mr. Ben Reichle is here, conservative co-host, one of the hundreds of co-owners of LB Water over in
Moderate co-host.
Moderate host.
It's good Financial Friday.
It's good. That's an excellent way. Yeah, blend it all together.
Yeah,
good. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, it is Good Friday, so we thank everybody for tuning in this morning. Also in the studio, Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Not the lesser chamber. No, no, no.
The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber.
Yep,
good morning, Ben and Mark.
Flexing some muscle here today.
Yep, and Amy Buhner is here, Bowen Agency Realtor, just a great Sunburyan and chairman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Elected chair, right? Still live in Sunbury? No?
Still live in Sunbury.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Amy is the rose between all our thorns today, so thank you, Amy, for being here.
Very good morning to you, Ben.
She's going to put up with us. I just heard it in the voice. I could even tell. All right, well, welcome on board, everybody. We'll start out with the reaction at this table. Let's see. I think that's what you predicted? 239,000 jobs, and it was 236.
Very close.
Yeah,
right.
Very, very close. And by the way, these are not my predictions. They're the consensus of a bunch of economists that we follow. But, you know, I guess I was just saying to Amy right before we came on the air, you know, I just don't feel like I won my A game today. And then I heard the folks from the national broadcaster, they're definitely not on their A game. trying to collect these numbers. But, yeah, so just a real quick recap, 236,000 jobs, new jobs created in March. Unemployment rate just slightly down. We were thinking it might hold steady, but slightly down from 3.6 to 3.5%. We'll be bringing you the participation rate, talking a little bit about job openings, et cetera. You know, we're sort of changing our tune a little bit with these our Financial Fridays, because things are clearly cooling off, and we were looking for some red flags today. Luckily, the red flags weren't there. Now, I say luckily only because there's a possibility that this might be strong enough that the Feds do more than we were hoping they would do. We're expecting in early May about a 25 basis points increase in the interest rates, but this is a good report. We're basically replacing the jobs. The red flags are not waving this morning, so we feel pretty good about this.
Now, labor participation rate is up slightly. What happens to labor participation in a recession? Some folks, including Anibar Basu, who spoke to the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, said recession's around the corner. What happens to participation then?
Yeah, I mean, Anibar predicted a recession later this year. It pretty much all the literature now talks about a recession. However, they qualify that and talk about a shallow and short, or short and shallow recession. But yeah, it's pretty clear now we're running into headlong into a recessionary period. But in the participation rate, just by way of reminder to everybody, participation are those individuals between the ages of 18 and 64 who are available to work, who are actually in the labor force. It may be shocking to many folks to hear that more than one-third of the available workers in the United States of America are not working for whatever reason. But there's a lot of reasons have been given for that, everything from early retirements to people hitting the lotto. there could be a lot of reasons.
Some people say, I don't have to work.
The government checks. the government's going to pay you not to work, what's your incentive to work?
Yeah, that was we heard that a lot coming out of the during the pandemic when there were a lot of different programs out. I think most of those programs, Ben, have now run their course. Did folks get real comfortable not working? Now, of course, Anibon pointed right to young males and said they're the problem. They're the ones that are not in the labor force. And you know, at this point, it feels like we're flogging a horse a little bit. At this point, what we want to say is we need every available person to be in the labor force if they're able to do it and getting the skills that they need for the jobs that currently exist.
All right. Amy, a reaction. Jobless rate down to 3.5% and 236,000 jobs added.
When I hear all of these statistics and reflect on what Bob's saying about the participation rate, I always scratch my head wondering, where did everybody go? Because it's not anything industry standard either. No matter where you go, I was at a small mom-and-pop local business in the Valley yesterday, and mom-and-pop were behind the counter. That was it, two of them. I was going in to have some lunch. It was very reminiscent of my former life with mom and pop. But, you know, he looked up and he said, "We don't have help. We'll be with you as soon as I can." Because they were answering the phones and running credit cards and making the food and delivering the food. And you go to your retail stores. You go to your healthcare facilities. I wonder, where did everybody go and what are they doing? The people that exist, the people that are here and not participating, the whys and the hows, it is very puzzling. So we're working very hard at increasing the skill set that is needed in the Valley, but how do we get them out there?
Yeah, a lot of folks said, why kill yourself? I don't need to work. I don't need to work full-time especially if I have a dominant earning spouse that's, you know, bringing in the benefits and the money. A lot of folks did that during the pandemic. It's hard to get out of that routine. I think the days fill up with available activities. We're first of all, just jobless reaction, Ben.
Well, the jobless rate's pretty flat. We'll see how it gets. If we go back and look at the numbers all year, they always get restructured. So we'll see that. It'll be interesting to see what sectors. If it's hospitality and service, that's just replenishing jobs we've lost. We have an administration that is pro-employees, they think, but they're anti-employers. We see that particularly in the energy industry. We have a disaster going on monetarily. I know it is Good Friday, so there should be some good news. Good news is President Biden, let's say Senator Schumer,
they're not
Speaker,
doing anything
Speaker
today.
McCarthy, help Jerome Powell get the damn monetary policy straightened out. He's given you enough. He's asked for help, and you guys are not helping. We have to stop spending money. President Biden, you can't send a $2 trillion-plus budget into, excuse my language, but asinine to say, let's spend $2 trillion more than we're taking in. So get back to regular order. Get the priorities of the budget. Numbers are going to be okay. Sectors will dictate. If it's in manufacturing, construction, that's pipeline jobs. That's things moving through the pipeline because you're building something in the end. Amy will sell the building or the house that you build on this end. Mortgage rates coming down a little bit, but frustrating for mortgage brokers right now. So we'll have to see. It's springtime, Mark, so spring.
You're allowed to say asinine if you're talking about Washington or Harrisburg, so it's like an exception with the FCC. With that, we welcome our additional panelists this morning. Alex Harper is on the line, Vice President of Governmental Affairs with the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. So good morning, Alex. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
If you didn't hear it, jobless rate went down to 3.5% and 236,000 so-called new jobs created, or existing old jobs that were empty got filled, or people got off the unemployment rolls one way or the other. Any reaction to that number? Our jobless rate is still considers to be a good element of our economy right now.
Yeah, it's always encouraging to see a jobless rate at the levels where they have been. Pennsylvania has lagged a bit the rest of the nation, but those numbers are pretty strong. I think I would emphasize a couple points I heard earlier about labor participation, and you know that's an area where Pennsylvania continues to really lag, and I think that's a national problem, but perhaps a bit more acute in Pennsylvania. We've seen numbers that we have about in the Commonwealth here. We have about 75 available workers for every 100 open jobs. So when you talk about your employers in your region, and it's really something that we're hearing statewide across all industries, businesses of all sizes and all regions, where they can't find the people. We like to see a low unemployment rate, but we really need to expand the labor pool and give employers an opportunity to fill these open positions.
Good morning, Alex. This is Bob Garrett from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Great to hear your voice this morning. We have a theme for today's show that good policy is good politics. And I think I may have heard that from you, in fact, Alex. But what we were hoping is you could talk to the folks a little bit about how the PA Chamber works with the members of the legislature, with the governor and others to bring good pro-jobs, pro-business a policy and turn that into legislation. And then if you could just take 1 minute, we have we're in an area that actually has a legislative race coming up on May 17th. In fact, we're going to have Mike Stender in here in a few minutes. And we're wondering if you could talk to us first about how does the PA Chamber create its legislative priorities, and then how do you work with potential candidates or candidates running for state office?
Yeah, no, thank you, Bob. The PA Chamber is the largest broad-based business advocacy association in Pennsylvania. So we have about 10,000 members. These are employers in all 67 counties, crossing all industry sectors, and like I said before, these are employers of all sizes. So we're advocating for public policy to, make Pennsylvania the most competitive state in the country. We want a business environment where existing Pennsylvania employers have the confidence and the resources and the people to grow their business, to stay in Pennsylvania, and to be really thriving members of their communities. We also want a business environment that attracts new employers to Pennsylvania. We're in the midst of early budget discussions here in Pennsylvania, and every year there is this sort of conundrum about, with lawmakers, they don't want to raise taxes, which we love to hear, but there's also a tremendous demand for more spending on more state programs and areas of state government. And the answer is, pretty simple. We need more taxpayers. We need more businesses in Pennsylvania. We need more people in Pennsylvania paying taxes and broaden that base. So our agenda is focused on improving that business climate and, not only trying to get more employers to locate in Pennsylvania, but to get our existing businesses to stay here and to expand. So we work very closely with legislators, 203 members of the House, 50 members of the state Senate, and of course we have a new governor with an administration that is growing, bringing on people. Many different areas of state government impact the business community, and we work closely with all of these lawmakers to develop policy to help advance that agenda.
You mentioned that the Pennsylvania is particularly acutely impacted by a low participation rate. Why is that so? You mentioned the taxes. Workers, of course, pay taxes, so that might be a factor. What else is a factor to try to make sure that as many people in the workforce who can contribute are doing so?
Yeah, it's a great question, and unfortunately a very difficult and complicated answer. Where are the people? Why are employers, across the board seemingly having trouble finding people? There have been a lot of studies done. They've looked at, Pennsylvania's demographic trends. You know, we happen to be a state that's getting older. That means more people retiring. It also means, you know, individuals may be leaving the workforce even temporarily to care for older parents. We certainly had a case during the, you know, over the last few years where public benefits systems made it, you know, made it easier for people to not work. In some cases, even though most of those programs have expired, you might have folks who accumulated some savings and either been able to retire early or still, you know, not have to go back to work. We have a real problem with child care and access to affordable child care that keeps people out of the workforce. So if there are many problems. Unfortunately, there is no, you know, silver bullet public policy solution to addressing workforce challenges, getting that labor participation rate, you know, back up where it should be. But, you know, a major focus of our legislative agenda are all, you know, trying to address all these different reasons why folks are not transitioning back into employment, or how we can expand the pool of people who are looking for work, who are actively engaged in the workforce, and, you know, try to give our employers a shot here. Because in many cases, you can't grow, you can't survive, really, without people.
Okay, Amy.
Thank you very much for that information, Alex. And I like a simplified overview. I find in my other everyday world with the Realtors Association how little I knew about legislation and policy. And to hear the discussion about the difficult balance when it comes to taxpayers and how to stay business friendly, but also encourage the employment rate and make sure that people feel like participating. So that touched a little bit on my questions earlier is, How do we broaden the pool and encourage people to come back in, but to stay business friendly, because taxes and policies and legislation can make it challenging. So to be able to swiftly and efficiently combine all those things to make a really good Friday or everyday mood and atmosphere surrounding business and employment. And the broad overview, but a little bit simplified, I think is helpful to let people know that there's always the efforts being put forth. So I appreciate that.
Ben.
No, I appreciate that as well, Amy.
Yeah, Alex, a little bit of some meat and potatoes here. On the business side, so Pennsylvania suffers, and we just heard it on the licensure report here. We heard it early. So we can't get licenses for our nurses and the people who we need to. We lose them to other states. But we have a permit problem. DEP now stands for Don't Expect Permits. We are bringing the corporate tax rates down. But I mean, what's the real outlook into getting some efficiencies back into Harrisburg? I mean, Bob Garrett's squirming now because he wants workforce development. We want broadband. You talked about that. But the inefficiencies of just doing some basics, getting licenses for hairdressers, getting licenses for nurses, getting licenses for those basic needs that we have. I'm not saying cutting hair, especially Bob's, is a need, but how can we get that efficiency?
What's that, Bobby?
It's something we are laser focused on and have been for some time. You know, when we do have businesses attracted to Pennsylvania and looking to open facilities or looking to expand existing facilities, just too often they find our system of permitting, whether at the state level or the local level, is just a real impediment to growth. Just recently, we had a major project manufacturing facility that was sort of planned in southwestern PA that ultimately got moved to Arkansas. Really very devastating for these communities. And to kind of add insult to injury, when they cut the ribbon in Arkansas, the former governor there said, you know, in Arkansas, they could cut a ribbon on a facility before Pennsylvania could issue its permits. You know, that to us was a real, almost a wake-up call, calling us out in Pennsylvania to say, we need to get this right. So we have been hammering lawmakers, you know, the administration when the governor's race was going on, talking to both candidates about this being a policy priority. We were pretty gratified that Governor Shapiro, one of the first steps he took while in office was to issue an executive order to look at how we can improve permitting processes and times in Pennsylvania. So this is DEP, this is PennDOT. These are the various agencies that have a very important responsibility, but also responsibility to the business community, to workers, to make sure these permits are being issued in a timely way.
And Alex, one thing about the executive order, though, I hope he said we need this in 30 days. We don't need it in 6 months or 9 months. And that's the problem we're having. Businesses are getting frustrated. But the basic part of you can't get nurses their licenses. I got a local doctor's office here, large facility, that has PAs coming out of school. They're going to have this young lady come out in June. She won't get her license to maybe October. How those efficiencies just drive people crazy. But on a lighter note, I hope you get a full day work out of Anzer today.
Well, you reference one of my colleagues at the PA Chamber, yeah, who's an absolute workhorse, and I know
he's a good man.
I know, well known in your neck of the woods. So I mentioned to John, he got a shout out.
Okay, he's a good man.
All right. Okay. Hey, Alex, back to Bob here. And first off, thank you for not taking the bait from Ben on how often I get to the barber shop. Or I really have no need to go to those places. He's just jealous there. But thank you very much for calling in this morning and giving us that view from Harrisburg. Can you just sort of wrap it up with any prediction on an on-time budget or on any of the secretaries going through their confirmations? Anything there, a high level, what can we look forward to as this legislative session matures?
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for inviting me on today, and it's always great to work with you. You're a great leader in our statewide chamber and business community, so thank you for that. You know, I don't know if it's the holiday weekend or what, but I do have a sense of optimism on multiple fronts. I think we have a great opportunity, to not only pass a budget on time, which there's importance to that, but we need a good budget. And by that, I mean, not only a balanced budget that doesn't raise taxes on, Pennsylvania businesses and residents, but also includes good public policy that improves our tax code, makes some of these changes to permitting. I'm optimistic that there's a real interest, bipartisan, bicameral, in state government to make Pennsylvania more competitive. They're hearing it from their businesses back home. So I'm optimistic that this could be a very productive legislative session.
Thank you so much for the call and the information. We'll be back in touch on particular issues as they pop up throughout the year. And we'll stay in touch, Alex. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you.
Alex Harper, Vice President of Governmental Affairs, Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. We will take a two-minute break. We will be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, super panel here. We've got Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Amy Buhner, Bowen Agency Realtor, Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. Bob, wrap us up with some more analysis. What's happening locally?
Yeah, you know, we've been talking all morning about the statewide and national numbers, and this is my opportunity to just bring you up to date on what's happening in our four counties in the Greater Susquehanna Valley. We continue to keep a good low unemployment rate in our counties. Montour County did have a slight increase up to 3.3%, so well below the federal and state unemployment rates. Union County ticked up a little bit up to 3.6%, which is identical to the federal unemployment rate, well below the state unemployment rate. Montour and Union together round out the bottom low 10 counties in the state, if you will. If you think of the 67 counties, so they rank between 1 and 10 in those 67. Very unusual. Right now, I don't think I've seen this in the 9 years I've been back at the chamber, but Snyder and Northumberland County have identical unemployment rates right now at 4.6%. Wow. That we haven't seen that before. I don't know why Snyder's has bumped up. You know, most of the headline layoffs and job slowdowns have been in the tech industry. I don't know that Snyder County is the Silicon Valley of Pennsylvania or anything.
Maybe Best Buy let somebody go.
There's a little bit of a tick up. There could have been a slowdown at one of the companies.
Hold it. Was that number skewed due to the Wood Mode layoffs?
That's what I thought, too. They had their shutdown for
That number can't be correct.
Annual meeting. We got a minute left.
We have our annual meeting coming up. I wanted to remind everybody of that. It'll be on May 11th. We're at the Pine Barn Inn over in Danville. That's where we do our business of the year, all of those different celebrations and awards, as well as we'll have a really good keynote. I can't say who it is quite yet because we're still working out a few details, but that's May 11th. It's a lunch meeting, Pine Barn Inn.
Rumor was President Trump coming in for that?
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Panelists, Amy, thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And if you are even thinking about possibly considering selling your house, call Amy right away.
If we do it right, we'll do it quick.
All right. There we go. That's Amy Buhner, Bowen Agency Realtor, Chairman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Bob Garrett's President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Ben gets to stay. He's a local business person, a Republican committee person. Mike Stender, the House candidate, coming in next on the Mark, and then we'll have open phones. This is WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben is directly across from me, Republican businessman.
And American business.
There we go. Okay. Conservative, Republican committee person.
Moderate, deep thinker. Enjoy the opening of baseball. How are your Cubs doing?
Not too good. Better than the Phillies.
Phillies are suffering a little bit. Cardinals are doing it. Yankees are hitting it out of the park.
Right.
Trillo has to be happy. He's clicking and clacking back
some
there.
Some days.
His glass is half empty some days.
Yeah, he's he doesn't always like a good win. So.
Well, I heard he does not care for the LSU women's basketball coach. I heard that even up in Massachusetts. I got a text on that. So, but if the Yankees are winning, then Matt's glass is getting a little fuller.
In the studio with us now, Mike Stender is here. Mike Stender Jr. He's a Harrisburg City firefighter and a Shikellamie School Board member, Sunbury resident, and he is a Republican candidate for the special election coming up for the 108th District State House seat. The individual who gets to replace Linda Schlegel-Culver, who bumped up to State Senate. So, Mike, welcome aboard.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in here, meet you, and you know, hear what kind of questions that the listeners may have.
Yeah, I remember meeting you years ago, so we've been acquainted for a little while here. So I already knew who you were. Most frequently asked question folks are asking you: when is the election?
Yeah, May 16th. You know, we're rounding about 300 doors knocked already in the district this week, and probably the number one question we've been getting asked about the special election is what day is the election? So May 16th is a special election. It's the same day as the state primary. primary. For the special election, though, anybody, you know, regardless of party affiliation, will be able to come out and vote. But May 16th is the election.
And that will be the only thing folks will be able to vote on if they are nonpartisan or unaffiliated or Libertarian or Green Party.
Or independent.
Right. So yep. But they'll be able to vote in the 108th district.
As long as they're registered
to vote. What's that?
As long as they're registered.
Right. Yeah, registered.
Yeah, and
in those
I think
other
parties. Yeah, and I think the last day to register to vote is first week of May. There's some date in the first week of May. So.
Right.
So people still have time. You know, if to go register to vote so they can come and vote for me on May 16th.
All right. Yeah. May 1st is the deadline. The 2nd is the deadline. Yeah. May 2nd. Okay. So if you use mail-in ballots, will I see your name on that ballot also?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yes. And people, I actually talked to some people who were going on vacation, afraid that they wouldn't be back in time, and they've already requested the mail-in ballot. You can request one, and even if you do not use it, you know, but you can still request one just in case you are unsure or logistically you just can't make it to the polls. You can still request one even now.
Okay. So that will continue up until, I believe, the week before or so that kind of cuts off. And then even then, and if you wish to vote in person at the courthouse, you can get a mail-in ballot in person, fill it out, and hand it in the same day if you so choose. So in a manner of speaking, we have same-day voting in Pennsylvania. Just a little bit complicated.
How intriguing.
Right. So, yeah, well, we want everybody to participate in this election who wants to.
Let's make it so easy that you maybe have to blink and breathe and vote.
To do that. Introduce yourself to our audience. For most folks, myself included, we don't know too much about your politics. So.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Michael Stender, I'm a junior. I'm a Shikellamy graduate, born and raised in Sunbury, still today. Me and my wife, Shannon, raise our three daughters in Sunbury. We're fortunate enough to, have been married for 10 years. And, I'm a career fireman in Harrisburg. I graduated from Bloomsburg University. For the last year and a half, I've had the pleasure of serving on the Shikellamy School Board. It's been a wonderful experience. I've learned so much about the public school system that I almost could write a book. And probably a bigger book of the things I've already forgotten. But it's been a wonderful experience. Just like the campaign here so far, this has been, I've got to interact with so many people in the district already. Everybody's been very gracious, polite. A lot of people are engaged in what's happening locally, and it's wonderful to see.
Tell me about, will you stay a firefighter if you're elected?
My opinion of the role as a state representative is that is a 24/7, 365 job. So, unfortunately, I'll resign from my job as a career fireman. That's something, me and my wife have discussed at great length. However, this is a really great opportunity, and, I'm really looking forward to it. So I'll be a full-time state legislator.
What's your pitch to voters why we should support you?
I think I bring a unique experience from public safety to being active in my community. And I really have shown through my 20 years of, being in the workforce, my commitment to our community. I really believe that I can help bring a common sense approach to solving problems in Harrisburg as a firefighter and first responder. We always have to do more with less. So, and we're able to, we don't leave places till the job's done. So that's something that, through my whole life, I've been able to help figure out. So I think, we need people in Harrisburg who are going to remember that they're from, the Central Susquehanna Valley, the 108th District. Regardless of what happens in Harrisburg, you still have to come back to the district. You have to face the constituents. So, and then I also really want to be able to help continue the great work Linda and, her predecessor Merle Phillips have done, where they've really put the constituents of the 108th first. I'm pretty sure that there's, probably at this point, it's probably millions of people who have called those offices over the last 40 years and they've been helped. you know, we serve people. That's the rule of, you know, being a public official, a public servant. Is our job is to serve the public. So if they call, have a problem, have an issue, whether it be a PennDOT issue, an unemployment issue, hey, they need help with birth certificates, you know, through the Department of Health, that's really, you know, the rule of, you know, to me, the rule of the of a state representative. And, you know, I'm really anxious and curious and excited to be able to get down there and, you know, perform these duties and help represent the people that helped raise me.
And you'll be able to help the permitting process, I hope, when you get down there, should you win. But one of the things is you have a diverse constituent base. I mean, even it's mostly Northumberland County, but you've got a little Montour County now with the redistricting. Is there a couple issues that the people are talking to you about? Now, one of the things about that when people say it's different if you talk to, let's say, a business owner or if you talk to an employee, but, you know, both those type of constituents have some issues and I'm sure opinions that you've heard over the last couple of weeks. Is there a couple issues that stand out?
Yeah, I think last weekend I had the opportunity to visit some farmers up in, you know, northern Northumberland, mm-hmm. parts of Montour County. And, you know, when you look at the 108th District, you know, our rural areas are, you know, pretty large, pretty expansive, and our agriculture industry in this district is just, you know, it's almost probably one of the number one industries.
Larger than people think.
100%.
And it is a business. So people think farming maybe not be as business. No, it's very much a business.
No, and I think when we look at those areas, you know, we hear a lot of people talk about, you know, over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, those areas really are underserved by things like broadband, mm-hmm. internet. You know, farmers aren't able to take advantage of something as simple as the internet for mm-hmm. some of their activities, which a lot of that equipment anymore, we all know, you need access to computers, access to the internet to be able to have an efficient, you know, business that really can help, you know, serve people, help create jobs. So, you know,
I'm
really
gonna
small
guess,
business.
I hope healthcare was in the top three or four, no longer healthcare, but childcare, meaning able to help businesses get employed. We talked earlier with the Chamber of Commerce, talk about people getting back to work. Well, one of the obstacles, or unfortunately one of the hurdles, is childcare. And, you know, what do you say, affordable childcare? Let's just say childcare that's efficient for the working person.
Well, yeah, and I think when we talk about childcare, I think one of the first areas, and I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce recognizes this, is we really need to get to a point where we're helping workforce development. So we need to help, you know, and I, you know, SunVotech is, I think, beginning the process where they're going to offer some childcare worker courses. So that way people who are graduating high school are ready for what's in demand in our valley. I believe Northumberland County Votech already has a program like that, you know, but I think one of the things that, you know, we need out of Harrisburg, and when we talk about education funding, is we need, you know, education funding that helps with not necessarily job creation, but filling the jobs that are already out there, you know. And I think, you know, when we look at education funding, that's something we really need to focus on, is helping make people ready to work when they're 18 or 19. I mean, I didn't take a straight line path to college. You know, I worked, you know, I was fortunate enough to be an EMT for Sunbury Hospital and then the Americas Ambulance, and, you know, and I worked my way through college. And, you know, I think we can do a good job of getting 16, 17, 18 year old, and, you know, some people obviously 19, ready to enter the workforce right away, because there are jobs out there that don't demand a college degree. So,
is it fair to say, and this is a little pet peeve of mine sitting in Harrisburg with some senators, is it fair to say workforce development starts pre-K or K? I look at it, workforce development to me is K to 12. I mean, when I was younger, God forbid, take out the garbage. I mean, there were some work chores that were workforce development. You develop these, but I always think the public education, private education, that's workforce development.
Yes.
Now, I know Garrett and the chamber sort of squirm when I say this, but I think workforce development, damn it, is K to 12.
Yeah, no. Well, I think when we look at these things, I think, you know, one of the requirements from employers is they want people who can think. They want people who can help solve problems. I think we begin to educate kids of how to critically think and solve problems. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, pre-K, kindergarten, and on. I think we need to make sure that we're properly, you know, we have a well-educated workforce. And, you know, and when I say well-educated, I mean, there are some courses I probably stopped taking in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade that I never took again in college. And, you know, I think I'm a well-rounded person at this point because of that Shikellamy education.
I would say two things that I would is appropriate for the people I know in businesses and some small businesses. Be able to make change, understand what change is. I mean, if you have a bill for $580 and somebody gives you a $10 bill, you don't have to sit there and do a calculus problem. Be able to give change and be able to tell what time it is if there's two hands on the clock. It doesn't have to be digital. Those are two basic things that we start with. I think we can get moving.
No, I 100%. I think, you know, you don't hear it enough or you don't see it enough when you're standing in the line at the local Wise Market and, you know, you see somebody hand some change and somebody looks a little confused at first. Now, I do recognize some of those kids who are working the cash register. They have no desire to stay at that cash register. They would be happy just going, you know, stocking the shelves. You know, they would be happy with that. But I believe, you know, crawl, walk, run. So some people need to start at some places to get to others.
You and Mark probably had some of the same Shikellamy teachers. I'm thinking of Coach Purnell and Don Ely and Dave Ritchie and some of those folks that probably drilled it into you that you have to think things through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's...
I evacuated when I heard Dave Ritchie was coming, so we just missed each other. We're going to take a quick break, but we have Mike Stender here. Mike Stender, Jr., Harrisburg City firefighter, Shikellamy School Board member, Republican candidate for the special election in the 108th District for the State House seat left vacant by the promotion of Linda Schlegel-Culver to State Senator. Trevor Finn was on this show last week. Both of those individuals have an opportunity to come back on our Sunrise and our On the Mark show, and before May 16th, we'll see if we can get them both in the building at the same time and answer your questions in an open forum. So we'll try to arrange that coming up. We'll take a break. If you have a question for candidate Stender, you can send us an email at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. If you want to talk to Mike Stender, we have an email address open for you. That's on the mark at WKOK.com. And you can text us at 70236. Always use the keyword OTM. So we'd appreciate that. All right. Last time when we talked about Harrisburg issues, we talked about this idea of permitless carry, where some folks don't want to have to get a permit in order to carry concealed. What's your view on that particular topic?
No, I think I'm a strong advocate of, you know, the Second Amendment. I, you know, after, you know, I've had to research this issue a little bit. I don't say I know all of it, you know, at first glance. I think we have a really good system in place right now. However, you know, I am more than open to understanding and learning more about, you know, I think they called it, what, constitutional carry?
Yep, that's what it is.
Yep. You know, I am very open to learning more about it and, you know, trying to, you know, understand, you know, the different parts because, you know, I think we can't continue as a state to impinge on, you know, what I would call federal constitutional rights. You know, I don't think we at the state level really need to focus on things that, you know, our congressmen and our U.S. senators are supposed to be worrying about.
Now, what have you found out about voter ID? Republicans have an idea. Democrats are willing to do anything to stop it. Tell us about your thoughts. So, do we need ID? What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think it's I've been going through the walking list, and you know, I've already picked up some people that I know, you know, have passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to. I think IDs make sense. We use them for, you know, driver's license. I mean, you have a permit to carry a gun. I mean, we make people do it to, you know, carry a gun of something, you know, like we said. And I just think that it makes sense that, hey, if you walk into a polling location and those, you know, the great poll workers we have are not sure who you are, I think you should have to, you know, I think it only makes sense that we have a photo ID to identify who you are before you vote. You know, our voter rules are, you know, at times they seem, you know, a little outdated. And I think it just gives confidence to the process. I think everybody, you know, as we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years, everybody just wants to have confidence in that the government's doing what they're supposed to be doing and it's the appropriate things. And I think having a photo ID just helps, you know, create a process that everybody can have confidence in.
I'm amazed at the number of poll workers that work other places, because I've been at the Wise Markets where the cashier, or over at the personal checkout where somebody comes up and checks my ID when I'm buying cold medicine. So I'm thinking, geez, these are great poll workers. We just need to get those to the poll. So you need an ID to get supplies, certain supplies, but voting, I guess, is something that they just take for granted a little bit. So it's very interesting when you talk about voter ID, and Mark's statement there was, Democrats will jump through hoops to stop it. However, I hope they buy cold medicine if they need it, and they show their ID.
Have an ID.
Yeah, yeah. I believe if you want to buy what, like Sudafed, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to buy Sudafed, you have to show an ID. So,
what about other issues that are pending in Harrisburg? Are there any in particular that you feel strongly about that you're going to champion when you get down there?
Well, the first thing is, you know, at this point, should I win May 16th? I think I'm going to get sworn in right at the beginning of the budget process, right? You know, I think one of the problems that we've seen over the last, and I'm going to be nice and say over the last 8 years, but realistically, it's been probably the last 20 years is you know, I really question whether or not we have real state budgets. And when I say real state budgets, I'm talking about ones that are free of the one-time transfers. You know, I think it is, you know, I necessarily can't budget in my own house from, you know, hey, we just got one cash infusion. I can't depend on that money all 12 months, you know. So I don't understand why our governors who introduce the budget and then, you know, some of our state legislators who approve the budget then, you know, why we, you know, and specifically from the governor's office, why we continue to use these one-time budgets or, you know, money that we know is not reoccurring to really balance our budget. Like that to me, I mean, I can't do that in my personal life. We shouldn't be doing that in Harrisburg.
Well, what about the rat hole money, too, that these agencies stick down the rat hole, and then they have it, but it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
So the government, state government gives them a budget. They don't spend their budget, but they take money and they set it aside, and then all of a sudden they find they have all this extra money. I mean, it makes the rainy day fund look like a monsoon.
Right. So, and you know, and I think one of the big things, you know, we hear, you know, I've been hearing, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have heard the same stuff, is there's, you know, we have a lot of people who, you know, for example, their property taxes are out of control. And, you know, for the last 25 years, there have been promises about property taxes that just have never come to fruition and never held true. I think we have a public, you know, there's some public safety issues out there lingering. I'm sure, Mark, you're going to love this one. You know, allowing our local municipalities to use radar guns. I know you love
that's
hearing
not
about
my
that.
Issue. That's Joe's issue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know this radio show talks about
that. I just
that
bring
all the
it
time.
Up.
I'm going for new fire hydrants in every missile time.
Abortion. Your view on what length of time, if any, is the right length of time when a woman can make that decision with her physician?
Yeah. So I'm pro life. I've actually been endorsed by the Pro Life Federation. It's to me, when we're talking about that area, that's, you know, at this point, that's just, you know, just check me in that box.
Okay.
You know, pro-life, realistically, I think, you guys have seen the makeup of the state house right now. I don't know that issue is, you know, in the next 18 months, I highly doubt that issue or, you know, that we're going to be talking about that within the state house.
Well, you have a Democratic majority in the state house now, so they could bring it up. It wouldn't go too far, but, it would get past the governor, but it won't get past the Senate. Death penalty, your view on that? That's, people have to sort of layer their morality and faith and all kinds of things in there.
Yeah, so I don't understand, I think that's something that really, you know, the governor and the past two governors have taken a stance on the death penalty through, you know, executive orders or governor orders that I don't understand why the governor just thinks he's the kingmaker of Pennsylvania. You know, if that's an issue, I think he needs to talk to his Democratic colleagues in the House or Senate and start the process where the legislative body, you know, gets to debate and create the laws, you know.
But he was voted king. That's how he got there.
Well, I don't know if he was voted king. I think he was voted governor.
Well, hold on. He replaced the last king.
Right, exactly. So, you know. I think people knew that. All right. Convention of States. We haven't brought that up with too many people. It's the idea of getting enough states to call a constitutional convention so they can look at keeping government a certain size, term limits for lawmakers, and what's the other thing? Convention of States. They only have three things. Have you boned up on that particular topic?
No, yeah. I'll be honest with you. Okay. It's, you know, one of the great things about running for political office, and I learned this, you know, when I ran for school board, is, you know, you learn so many new issues, and I shouldn't, you know, new issues for me. You get to learn so many new issues, and then at night, I get to, you know, research these different topics and, you know, begin to try to formulate how I understand how it works and, you know, talk to some more people. But, you know, I think the one rule of a state representative, you know, that makes an effective state representative is you have to stay curious. You have to continue to learn and listen, you know, and that's, you know, that's how I'm going to operate as a state representative. As you know, I'm always curious and, you know, I'm always willing to listen so that way I can learn more.
I would say that's interesting because when you go down to Harrisburg, you know, and Pennsylvania is a pretty diverse state in some ways, but you look at one, if I can think of one policy that has been very positive because it's irritated people on all sides is the impact fees in energy, particularly natural gas. So you have areas like up here north of us that the impact fee money is coming to impact what they need, new water, sewer lines, new roads, new bridges, new parks, whatever they choose to spend on. And you have Democrats in the southwest part of Pennsylvania and out west that are pro that. But then you have Republicans down the southeast that are somewhat anti that. So their impact fees are, I believe, very, very positive from a standpoint that it goes where the money's impact. Plus, DEP gets some money. The government gets some money out of it. But there's one where it's bipartisan thumbs up and bipartisan thumb down, because if you can irritate Democrats and Republicans and also have Democrats and Republicans positive on an issue, that's a policy that's worth emulating.
Yeah, no, I think, it's interesting you bring up an impact fee because, you know, a lot of people hear that word fee, right? And they forget that that's a tax. You know, they just, you know, we had a governor at that time who created an impact fee, and then everybody's like, well, we want a natural gas tax. Well, we have that already through the impact fee. So, you know, that's, you know, to me, that's a part of learning and educating that, you know, for me, you know, and my understanding of how the state process works. But yeah, a lot of people forget that we already do tax our natural gas industry, you know, for being here. You know, I think our questions really need to be is, hey, what can we do to get more of that natural gas into the homes in Pennsylvania, or what can we do to help them?
Get,
you know,
pipelines, set up and get it in. They'll pipe it right to Mark's house.
Get the pipe from this guy. He sells it right out of the back of his Ford Taurus out there. anything else to add? Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I just, you know, I think I just want, you know, we have a website out there, stenderforpa.com. We're pretty active on Facebook. You know, I'm out in the districts. Just about every day of the week, I pick a different municipality to go try to knock on doors to good voters, you know. And, you know, at this point, we're just asking everybody who came out January 31st, come back out May 16th. You know, for the Republicans, you know, I'm ready to serve you. Even for the Democrats, I think I have a lot to offer. You know, like I said, I tell people every day that for the next, you know, God willing, for as long as I get to serve, especially here at the beginning, we've had two state representatives in the 108th for the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. Those two state representatives have created a framework that the citizens of the 108th have an expectation for a state representative who's going to be responsive, who's going to listen, who's going to learn, and more importantly, who's going to help the citizens of the 108th. And I hope and plan on continuing that, you know, should I be elected on May 16th. So everybody should feel comfortable and confident that, you know, the Republicans nominated a really good candidate who's going to fight for you in Harrisburg, even if that means going against the conventional wisdom of leadership in Harrisburg. You know,
you'll be independent.
Yeah, and you feel
not independent. I'm going to be representing the people of the 108th. You know, so I don't think that's independent.
It's dependent on them.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, what the citizens here need, that's, you know, that's my role in Harrisburg.
But you have a team. It was always interesting, and I got involved earlier. It was a good team when you said had Senator Helfrich, Russ Fairchild, Merle Phillips, and also, too, Del Fonte over in Mount Carmel, who was a Democrat. But that was a good team. So now you got Linda moving in.
Yes.
You got Gene, y'all, up north here a little bit. But then David, Joanne, and then possibly yourself creating that team. And John Gordner put that team together that really helped our bypass. People seem not to understand sometimes that the bypass is here because of the state funding. The federal funding was coming, but John Gordner put that group together, and that pushed some things through. So that was very positive, and
no,
you're looking to be a member of that team.
Yeah, of course. I've gotten to meet Joanne, Robert Ledbetter from Columbia, mm-hmm. yeah. and David Rowe, and they've all been very positive, very helpful. They've all reached out.
Jamie Flick and Stephanie.
Yeah, Jamie and Joham. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. They've all been very helpful. Linda Culver is, you know, a godsend. You know, she has endorsed me for this position, and she's been more than helpful. And I just look forward to the opportunity to possibly get to serve with all those individuals in Harrisburg. You know, I can't stress enough how positive and helpful everybody's been in this process. You know, the support that I've received has been a godsend. You know, and I really, you know, thank everybody for
that. Linda was the princess of the House, and now she's the princess of the Senate.
Anyway, moving on. Can you talk as fast as David Rowe? I mean, that's, you're going to have to pick up the pace here a little bit to match that.
You got a 3-minute interview with David in a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks
hey,
for
thank
coming
you.
In.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike Stender, Jr., Harrisburg City Firefighter, Shikellamy School Board Member, Republican candidate in the special election, 108th District, on his candidacy and how he'll serve if elected dependently on folks in the district and some of the big issues. You can find more answers about him at stender4pa.com. We will come back with Open Phones on Financial Friday. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Okay, we got open phones right now. The way that you participate, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. It's not no slouchy business. It's a business that's been around for the better part of a century, more than a century. North 4th Street in Sunbury is their current location, and they're growing down there. And the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 at Runyon Road, right across from where Hummel's Texaco was, which is what, Country Turf and Trail now, right?
Yeah, something I think they're like on that. 1115 also. Oh, Susquehanna Trail.
Oh, yeah, that's the other road.
Susquehanna
that's right.
Trail and Runyon Road.
But the other address that Ben and I always use to admire our next vehicle is to go to sunburymotors.com, check out the list of new Ford, Hyundais, or Kias. You can also build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specification at sunburymotors.com. And if you're going to keep your vehicle, if you're like Ben, you're going to keep that truck or that car for 20 years, Quick Lane North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. If your car's busted and needs to be towed to the place, they got a large truck. Tow truck is more of a crane on the back of a truck, and they have decades of damage-free experience. They got a plaque on the wall that says they're a master towing service, which means they work for you and do what you want. Damage-free maneuvering of your vehicle. I just had one of my older trucks towed over there to get four new tires put on it, and they were more than happy to help out in that manner. So
you had to tow the truck over to get four new tires.
Well, I left the old Goodriches on too long. They got crackly, and so I didn't think it was good to drive it. So, but they put on four new Goodyear tires. And
with
so,
nitrogen?
Yes. That's all. I only run nitrogen anymore. Okay. We're done with air. Mike, thank you. Waiting through the ramble, you are now on the mark.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question about the dollar. But before that, I just want to get like a one-sentence critique of what I'm hearing. That in Tennessee, the far-right supermajority in the state house in Tennessee is trying to expel some moderate Democrats for protesting a restrictive law that the Republicans are trying to jam down their throats. Did you guys hear about that and have any opinion?
How do you defend far right and how do you defend moderate? I mean, those are definitions that you're giving
all
us.
All I know is what I see on MSNBC. I'm just repeating that.
Well, geez. Hold it. Any Republican is far right on MSNBC. And believe me, any legislation by a Republican anywhere, maybe across the country, is jammed down the throats of Democrats. So, yeah, MSNBC would not be the benchmark, but maybe the Wall Street Journal or maybe the
BBC.
Yeah,
they broke into programming last night and said the world had just ended.
Yeah. MSNBC rotates and revolves. Their world rotates and revolves on such a small axis that you don't know where you're at. But on the other hand, it's you have to look more into it. Look what these two people did. Black representatives, Democrats, and one white lady. The white lady said she shouldn't be expelled because she didn't do the things the other people did. Then she went on MSNBC, I think CNN, and complained that she didn't get expelled because she was a white woman. So, let's just play the race card and play the victim card, and
really?
Here we go. And it's Good Friday.
Yeah, beyond belief that woman could do that. And, I mean, it's just a perfect example of the flat-out lying from the left. And the right does it, too. But the question I have is I'm hearing a lot about two things. Number one, and I've been I was in the work world since 1973, I guess, really. And I've been hearing that Social Security is not going to be there when I need it, okay? And now that date appears to be actually approaching. They're talking about significant reductions or tax hikes that we really can't afford, I believe, to keep Medicare and Social Security going the way they want. Okay, so that's on the table.
Mike, who's talking about that?
And then,
who's talking about that?
Well, I'm hearing it on Tucker Carlson. He's had a 14-minute segment the other night that's being passed around on the internet, and I'm hearing it from the President of the United States saying that Republicans want to cut Medicare and Social Security, and then in many journals and things that I read, they're just talking about the the numbers, the financial reality of how much money is coming into the system, how much money is coming out, and the amount of money in the trust funds. And it's not too far for each of those two programs that we're going to be behind the eight ball.
Well, and that's supposed to be 20. Your numbers should say 2032, correct? Is that the numbers that say it will run out by then?
Yeah, I think actually I heard 2033, and then one was closer.
Okay.
And I'm not sure which one is which.
So here's the scenario, what they're looking at. They're looking at Social Security-based, merit-based system, meaning that if somebody's making $500,000 and they're only taxed, I'm going to use a rough number, $112,000, they're looking to move that up. So they're looking to say, should we adjust the age? Right now, France is in turmoil because they're trying to get the retirement age up to 65, I believe, from 62, and those people are burning things because they don't want to work an extra 3 years. So one of the things about Social Security, and I'll be I want to take your time here, but it's the largest Ponzi scheme run by our federal government there is. You can't control your money. They have to control it for you, and they pass it out. So it's very socialist, communist in its nature. You know, they'll take money from you and give it to everyone else. If you would take Social Security and just invested it in the Dow Jones 30 stocks, we'd have more money to give to everybody. But on the other hand, is you need to make Social Security sustainable. And when you start talking about it, the Democrats throw up flags saying they're going to take it away from you. Republicans say, they literally do. And you got to make it sustainable. And should it be 67 because life expenses? And look at what they give out. Social Security now has become a fund that they give things out to everybody. Let's go back to the basic Social Security and get it sustainable so then we can all get some. I jokingly say to my daughter, who's 20 years old in college and her friends, I'm rooting for you because I want to get Social Security.
The opinions of Ben are not shared by anybody with a brain in Washington, D.C. because
if they had one, we would solve
it. You never go anywhere in politics talking reality like that.
All right, Mike, wrap it up. Go right ahead. You got an open mic.
Yes, and then the other thing that's being talked about is the devaluation of the dollar, and one of the root causes is it being disconnected as the world's reserve currency. And the only thing I know about this is when I was in China, I saw more $100 bills in my life than I've ever seen. And many places, they only wanted U.S. dollars. And this was in 1992. Yeah. And I'm assuming that it's gotten worse from what I'm hearing. So is this real, this threat to the dollar real that they're talking about now?
A little bit, but it should be. And the United States needs to stand up and take care of it because China wants yuan to be the currency. And our foreign policy with Biden administration is disastrous because look at just the treatment. Just take one country. Look at what they've done with Saudi Arabia. They made Saudi Arabia go over and start to befriend the Iranians, who they flat out hate, and also the Chinese. So, yes, Mike, there is something to that. It needs to be addressed, and we need to get a new administration.
Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, we've got another. We've got to get a real president in there. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got one caller standing by. We'd have time for one more comer, 570-743-9565.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Is our telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. We'll have time for one more caller, probably, and then we'll get to read all the emails here to stay honest. But we do have a caller waiting. Justin from Northumberland, you are on the mark. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me on, first of all. What I haven't talked about, it's not really anything too in-depth here, but just as a general observation, really, how I think that, you know, politics, more people have to go back to a moderate on both sides, as, you know, more and more you're seeing people digging in either very far left or right. And, you know, realistically, you know, no change comes there, you know, when people aren't willing to listen to each other and, like, actually, you know, have any sort of, you know, cooperation or, you know, I don't know where I was going with that else, but that was kind of like my main point.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how we could do that. People love to accentuate divisions, and you know, our whole, and now our whole culture and our government is set up. Our electronic media, or, you know, our big tech companies are all set up now to accentuate division. I mean, even Facebook getting called out these days for the fact that their algorithm accentuates negativity and things that people, you know, don't like, pops up in front of them so they can react to it and share it and so on. Yeah, we got a pickle. I agree.
Yeah, it's certainly something, as you mentioned, with algorithms on stuff. I mean, that's where, you know, companies' stance also gain as well. You know, when they can, you know, if they can get people riled up and mad, then that's going to drive more interaction with their platform, and that's good for them. But they don't really care about the side of, you know, how that's closing people's minds, really.
Follow it.
Go ahead.
Just follow the money, and you'll find that. But and also too, robust discussion is different than debating. But also too, some sides seem to make themselves victims over certain things if people aren't agreeable. So the Democrats over the years used to fight the man back in the 60s and 70s. Now they are the man, and now you see how they want to lead.
Even your call for bipartisanship has a diss in it.
Yes.
I think it's working.
Yes, I don't think so. But,
yeah.
Bipartisanship can be positive. However, partisanship can be positive also. If you have a good, if you have a good narrative and a good policy, don't be afraid to say it. I mean, you know, there's some things that allow people to agree to disagree. Yeah, but on the other hand, if somebody has a policy that's just off the rails, either side can disagree with that.
Of course.
All right. Yeah, Justin, I would recommend a book. Barbara F. Walter, a graduate of Bucknell, wrote a book called How to Start a Civil War and How to Stop Them. You don't have to read the whole book. Suffice to say that we're in the start a civil war mode. But read the last chapter, How to Stop the Civil War in the U.S., and it's good reading. Thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for
having me. Much appreciated. Yeah, we interviewed Barbara Walter.
I heard part of that interview, and
she did a fabulous job.
I don't think I won't get that time back, especially when she was talking about her father and Hitler and Trump. I'd love to see the research on that, because
you don't think her father really said that stuff?
Well, her father might have said it, but if Trump was a fascist, show me it. And that's the narrative that is the problem. And her information, I mean, she can say what her father said, but if you're saying that Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler, that's a bridge too far. So, yeah, if you read the book, give me the cliff notes. I'll peruse them. But on the other hand, I don't think I'll spend time on that one. but I'll take your information.
Yeah, how about it? Okay. One of our good listeners says, "What do you, Ben? What do you have to say about the Trump indictment after you said he wouldn't be indicted in this case or any case? Twist away."
Tom, thank you for not calling, just sending an email on this one. But I think I was saying he won't be convicted. You can indict, quote unquote, a ham sandwich, and it's not and it's not a kosher ham sandwich either. But so we'll see on this stuff. As most people in all sides, Democrat, Republicans, the pundits on the legal issues are saying that there's nothing here, but it's just a bunch of fodder to show that the former president did something. So we'll see what happens. There's no twisting, Tom, except maybe by yourself.
All right. We got one call coming in. One of our letter writers sent us an email earlier this week, says, "In my opinion, the Democrats, the D's, need to ensure that President Biden faces Trump in the 2024 general election. They believe, perhaps rightly, that Biden would prevail over Trump, but likely not against another Republican nominee." Yeah, that is what polls show, incidentally. Anyway, this is because Biden needs to frame the election narrative as a choice between the chaos of Trump and the normalcy of Biden. Any other R, or in, against any other R, Biden's actual record will be front and center, and that is a losing proposition. Trump would be smart to refrain from talking about this case or about what has gone wrong in previous elections. He should turn the conversation back to Biden's record. Trump being Trump, I'm not holding any breath, says Clip.
I would say, what's the normalcy of Biden? What's normal about the Biden administration? What, we have a cabinet that's a bunch of academians.
It's a super administration. It's done a super job.
Super job doing what? Super, Afghanistan?
Super job.
China?
Not
Ukraine?
Not being
monetary
Trump.
Policy?
He's not Trump.
Not being Trump. Not getting things done.
Right. Well, he's gotten some things done.
Energy policy?
They're not always good.
Please give me the normalcy of Biden administration, especially
Bobby
on
D.
Easter weekend.
Bobby D., go right ahead.
Yes, Mark, as you know, I was up, actually it was more like a panel discussion. Well, I mean, not really a panel discussion, but like an interview from the Bucknell professor. I mean, whatever department it wants.
Joy of the Easter weekend? Jesus is the reason for the season.
I heard about that. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to News Radio 1070, WDKOK Sunbury. Rob Center, ridiculously fabulous as a producer.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob, enjoy the Easter weekend. You enjoy the Easter weekend. Have a solemn Good Friday service tonight. This is WDKOK Sunbury.